Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's been good to be here again and worship again this morning. Again, was challenged in the Sunday school lesson. Appreciated our discussion in the men's class. Not sure what all to say this morning here. I guess if plans carry, preaching schedule stays the same, and our plans carry, this is the last time that I stand before you here as a part of the group here. And it's a lot of thoughts going through my mind these last few days, and as we feel the time has come for us to move on and go to the outreach. And you know, we've been here for 9.5 years, and it's become home. This congregation has become home to us, and I'll say a little more at a later date, but there's a lot of appreciation I have to those of you that were here when we came, the way you took us in. And so what do you share for maybe a final message here? And I thought back of different things I've shared on, and I wonder, did I say too much sometimes, or did I not say enough sometimes, and did I give a balanced message in what I shared, different things that I think of as as I stand before you this morning here. And I hope I can leave some encouragement here this morning. I'd like to look this morning at Ephesians chapter 6 for a message. You can turn to there. Be looking at the Christian's armor this morning, being faithful in the battle that we face in our spiritual lives. And the Christian life here is referred to as a battle. Different times in the New Testament, it's referred to as different things, a race and a journey, different things. But here we have a battle, a spiritual battle, something that we have to engage in and remain faithful to be victorious in our Christian life. This is a very familiar passage. I'd like to read verses 10 to 20. I think I'll ask everybody to stand and let's read it together. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You may be seated. Before we go into this portion here, I'd like to just draw our minds back to the book of Ephesians as a whole. If you think back, especially if you look back the last couple chapters, Paul is giving them a lot of admonition, some for their personal lives, some as a church. Talks about the body of Christ. He talks about living pure lives, about relating to each other. I think of chapter 4, verse 32, that starts out, be kind one to another. A lot of different admonitions that that he has given them on how to act. And now it seems like he's kind of summing this up in the final part of the book, and he's saying, I've shown you this, I've given you all this teaching here, and now as you go forth from here, as you face the future, as you move on in your spiritual life, first of all, be strong. You have an enemy here, an enemy that is looking to destroy you. It says in Peter that he is out as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This is a different kind of a battle than our world fights, where it is flesh and blood. But this is spiritual warfare, war against the powers of darkness, and this has more far-reaching effects in our life because this has an effect on our eternal soul, not just our physical lives. And as I thought of this battle that we are engaged in with, that's not flesh and blood, that is our spiritual battle, you know, what other battle can we go into? And you think of the armies that fight, and you go out and you hope you can win, and you think you probably can win. But this is a battle that we can go into through the death and the suffering, Christ's work on Calvary. We can go into, and we know that we can come out on top of this battle. We know that we are going to win, that we are on the winning side if we remain faithful. But sadly, where else in our history do we see so many people giving up something so sure, forfeiting victory, like we talked about the word in our Sunday school lesson, just giving it up. It's not a matter of chance that you lost, but giving up. And so we have a lot of details here on how to fight this battle. And Paul gives us the admonition here to take on the armor of God. As we fight, we need to be strong, first of all, and to not let the enemy win, take ground against the kingdom of God. And I had to think of the illustration. This is a carnal warfare, but there was an Indian tribe that the elite warriors in their tribe, they had a special little, I think maybe they had a little club or a group, but these warriors wore a scarlet sash into battle, and at some point in the battle they would pound one end of that into the ground, and that was where they would stay. The only way they could move from that spot in the battle is if someone else in their group came and allowed them to leave. And that is how we need to stand against the forces of evil, that we stand firm no matter what is going to happen. And I think we'll go through these pieces of armor here. We'll look at the pieces, the different parts of the armor here and their uses. And we can't just take on a part of the armor of God, and it's like taking on just a part of the gospel of Scripture. We need to take on the whole armor. We need to have the whole gospel in our hearts and in our minds, be following the whole gospel. First of all, it talks about having our loins girt about with truth, a girdle of truth around us. And this girdle was like a wide belt that these soldiers wore. And it kept their armor, their clothing in place, and it also, they wore kind of long skirts, and they could tuck their skirts up into their girdle so their long skirts would not hinder them in the time of war when they were fighting. And so we have truth here to keep us in line, to help. The one idea I come across was that we have the girdle of truth here. It's to help control our passions, our desires that we have. And then we have the breastplate of righteousness. And the breastplate was a piece that protected the chest. It actually protected, most of them would have a back piece as well. Protected front and back. Protect the part of the body that has our vital organs in it. Our heart, lungs, liver, and so on. And we have the protection of righteousness here over our innermost being. And Amplified would give the idea, the Amplified Bible, of the breath of righteousness here is integrity, moral conduct, conduct according to moral principles, strict honesty, the right standing with God, that we protect our innermost being with that, that we are honest and pure morally and right before God. And then we have the footwear, verse 15, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and need to be firmly grounded, that our feet have good traction against what we are facing, that we don't slip and fall, and we are firmly grounded in the gospel, that we that we stay rooted and grounded in the Word of God. It's interesting, it calls it the gospel of peace here, and I think that's maybe something for further study sometime. But another interesting thing about this spiritual warfare, this fight with the powers of darkness, is that even though we are fighting, we are at peace. The gospel brings peace in our hearts, peace in our minds. We can be at peace with God even though circumstances around us are not the easiest things to deal with. And next we have the shield of faith. And what do we do with our shield of faith? It says to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We use it as a protection against the things that the evil one would throw against us, against temptations, against the hurtful things people may say about us. And these shields that they're referring to here are a large shield. You even could use this word shield as you use word door there. And they're big enough to hide behind. And if our faith is strong, it is big enough to protect all of us, from our whole body, from the temptations that would come. And a strong faith in God throughout the difficult things in life will keep us from becoming discouraged. Next, we have the helmet of salvation, protection over our heads. And you know, the head is what gives orders to the rest of our body, gives direction. And we have the protection of knowing that we are saved, knowing that salvation is ours, and it is that confidence that keeps us going at times in the time of battle. And then we have the sword of the Spirit. And so far, the weapons have been defensive against holding back the things that come toward us. And now we have the sword. This is an offensive weapon, or it's a weapon that is used offensive and defensive. We have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We have God's Word with us, protecting us. Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as it is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so we have the word of God as a weapon, and we can use that as defense, the scriptures of encouragement that help, that show us that we are on the right road, and also help us as offensive weapons, that we have an answer to give those that would oppose us, that would have questions for us. And then we have prayer. Maybe that isn't given quite as a weapon like this, but I believe it is probably the greatest weapon in our armor here, and that we pray always. Always be in the attitude of prayer. And I want to read this verse the way the Amplified Bible gives it. says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Again, here that we need to be in the attitude of prayer at all times. Be ready to pray. And I believe for myself, this is the weapon that I don't make use of enough in my own life. And not only for my needs and my struggles, but I believe this prayer also is to reach out and to intercede for others when we know that others are facing needs and struggles, that we reach out and pray for them as well. Looking at the next two verses here, 19 and 20, we often stop when we look at the armor. We often stop at verse 18, but at least in my Bible, verse 19 is still part of the same sentence. And I think it is connected that Paul is asking for them to pray for him as he was speaking for God. And I think maybe we could use that as an example here for each of us, that we need to be more open in sharing with others our needs so they can pray for us. When we feel a need of prayer in our own lives, when we are facing something personally, that we would ask that the people would pray for us. And also prayer that as we have an opportunity to share the gospel, that God would give us wisdom in the things that he would have us to say. It also is impressed with the word ambassador here. An ambassador is a representative for someone else. Often we think of ambassadors as representatives of another country in a foreign land. And I think we need to think of ourselves as that, as being part of the heavenly kingdom, that we are ambassadors for Christ here as we live in this world, that we represent Christ to the world around us, that we show other people Christ, the way to Christ, and what God, the way God would have us to live in this world. And surely as we, to be a proper ambassador, representative for Christ, we need to spend time in prayer, that we would be a good ambassador, and also that we would pray for each other. And you can look at this armor, at this battle, as I mean, there's both the aspect of this as each of us personally facing a battle in our own lives, a battle against the enemy of our souls. And that's very real. We need to recognize that we each personally face a battle. But I think there's also an aspect that we, as a church, face battles together. In verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren. And this is a battle that I believe we as a church, each one of us, working together as a church, need to face together, the enemy of our souls. And there's a lot of, Just look at work, our physical work. There's a lot of things that we can do by ourselves, but there's a lot of things that two people working together well can get more done than one person, more than double the work done of one person on his own. And I think we need to recognize the advantages of working together as a brotherhood in this and facing the battles that we face. So what are some battles that we have faced or are facing as a church? And I guess I'll just say, when we were looking for a church, we appreciated the closeness we felt among the group here, and also the desire for a consistent walk with God and consistent applications to God's word in our everyday life. And I do believe that some of this has come under attack by the enemy of our souls. And some of this has, it's hard to maintain that closeness with a larger group. I think we need to recognize that. And there's things to work through in blending groups to get people together from other areas. But I believe the enemy has tried to come in with individualism in our midst, trying to keep us apart from each other. And I just say let's be careful that we work together as a brotherhood. And next, how about some battles that we could face personally here? And I don't know, I can't hardly give an exhaustive list. I don't know what all battles you are facing. But I have some that we may be facing here, and I thought of pride in our lives. And I think sometimes, at least for me, myself, I'm affected by this more than I would like to admit, or more than I think sometimes. And there's a lot of different ways that comes out. The things we buy for ourselves, the kind of clothes we buy, the way we dress, both ourselves. Sometimes it doesn't come out in the way we dress ourselves as much as the way we do our children. And what about our children in general? I had to think of that. And what about when someone comes to me with something, like a concern about my children? Am I too proud to admit that maybe they have been doing something wrong? Something I thought of here, and I thought of just my opinions when it comes to making decisions in a brotherhood. The opinions that I have, am I holding up my opinions and ideas more than I should? And I think also of the battle of temptation in our lives, and that's again a broad subject, but you know, the temptation to lust is all around us in our culture. It's something we can't hardly just get away from. And how are we doing personally in this battle? I think it's a question we ought to ask ourselves. And I think it's an area that, well, maybe we should ask for prayer sooner than we do in this, that we would be faithful. And maybe don't need to wait till people ask. I think we need to be praying for each other in this area all the time as well. Also, the temptation of getting too involved in the things of this life, in making a living, in our money, and we covered that in Sunday school. Appreciated the discussions on that in our Sunday school. But the one concern I have along with that is that it's a distraction from the battle for our souls, the battle between right and wrong, between light and darkness. And I think we need to be aware of that. I think that's one of the biggest tactics of our enemy, is if he can just distract us from the war that is at hand, then we're not getting anything productive done. We're not, as long as we're looking around us and not forging ahead, getting distracted again by making a living, or if we are interpersonal relationships, if we are spending all our time doing that, then we are not advancing the kingdom of God, and basically the devil is won if he has kept us from advancing. I'd like to think a little bit more about advancing the kingdom of God, being an ambassador, telling others about the gospel, and I feel like this is an area that I myself need a lot of growth in. It's too easy for me to not speak up when I should, not be as ready to share the gospel when I have opportunity. I'd just like to a couple comments. I think as parents, I think our most important mission field is right under our own roof, and I think we need to keep that in mind, that we don't not pay attention to that and just focus on the needs around us. But I would say right along with that, let's not use this as an excuse not to be active. I think a witness to our children is they see us reaching out, helping those around us, sharing the word. Again, I feel like I've failed in this a lot of times, and I think there's a lot of opportunities that we have to witness that our children can be a part of as well. So I think of the group here, I just encourage you to, as you go on, to continue being faithful in this battle against right and wrong. And as I look over the group here, I am encouraged, the group that is here. And one thing that has been a big blessing to me, I've watched as some have left and the ranks have thinned out, and some of you have had to take on more responsibilities. Maybe you really didn't have the chance to shoulder as many responsibilities before, and I've appreciated watching those of you that have stepped up and put your shoulder to the wheel and are digging in and filling these roles. And I appreciate that. It gives me a lot of confidence for the ongoing work of the church here. And I would encourage you to keep on doing that. And as new roles come up, that you would take them and continue putting your shoulder to the wheel, as it were. And I'm glad to say, as I thought about this, I thought of the role that I have been endeavoring to fill here. And I, at some point, you will probably be looking at another deacon ordination. And I'm glad to say I feel there is good potential here for someone to fill that role very well. I'm glad I can say that here. And I've also been able to see some of the youth as they grow up, and I see them maturing and searching for what God would do, what God would have as a plan for their lives, and giving of themselves in times of service. And I appreciate that. Let's continue on as God has called us each to our different different roles in different areas. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Let's kneel for prayer.